Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode 561 of the Bold and the Brave, Her podcast. Now, today I'm joined by a dear friend and colleague of a long time, I think. Oh my goodness gracious. We're going to be delving into something. You better be just sitting back and taking some notes here, girlfriends. Because this is really going to be an eye-opening, authentic, raw, real episode that you need to hear. It's a journey that so many of us are on right now. And that's all about our weight. Oh, okay. So here we go. Tara Parker Pope is really renowned and is known as literally one of the top award-winning journalist authors out there. Now, when I first heard of Tara, I believe she, you can correct me, but I believe she got me with the Wall Street Journal. It was an interview. Is that correct, Tara?
It was the Wall Street Journal. That's when we first met many years
ago.
Yeah,
and how long ago was that when you were with the Wall Street Journal?
Do I have to say? It was a very long time ago. I was with the Wall Street Journal.
The numbers then.
Well, I'm trying to think when I started writing the health column for the Wall Street Journal, it would have been like 2000, something like that. And I don't remember exactly when our conversation was, but it was sometime in the aughts.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, what's interesting is you've had an incredible journey as a top-level journalist and editor, you know, all the way, I mean, anyone who reads the New York Times would remember the Well section that was run by Tara Parker Pope for years. And I would just make a beeline to it every single time new material, new content showed up. And of course, I also worked with you with that and your wonderful team out there as we did articles together and interviews and back and forth. And then off to the Washington Post you went to do exactly the same thing, kind of gracing and blessing everyone with your presence and your marvelous work. And now, like so many people, you pivoted and you started really doing something I love to call talent stacking. And that's showing what else you could do as well. So you became chief content officer at Thrive Global. And many of you know Thrive Global because it's associated with Arianna Huffington. And there you were. And then, you know, meanwhile, you're earning numerous honors and it goes on and on. And then you did another beautiful pivot, which so many people are doing today, which is so cool. And that is now you've got a robust and thriving Substack presence with your Substack newsletter, One Day Better. And it was so interesting. This is why we're having this conversation, because you wrote a Substack that was jaw-dropping. And it just sort of floated across my feed, and there you were. And it was all about your journey with GLP. It was so beautifully written, not surprising, but it was intensely personal. It was something that you don't read so often at all. Most of the time, especially me as a physician, I'm reading all this high-level medical blah, blah, and it goes on, and the GLPs can do this, and they can't do that, and here's how you prescribe, and what. I want to know what the real-life experience is, because it's not just about weight at all. It's about so many other layers of what's going on in people who have experiences with GLP. And so there's that going on. I just, you know, wanted to make certain that people know that there's more and more of this beautiful, authentic, experiential content coming out. And I think Tara leads the way. So Tara, please tell us how this whole thing started up with you with the GLPs. Like, why?
Yeah, so I have often talked, I think part of the reason I was somewhat successful in the health space is I've always been very honest and related to readers. I've always talked about some of my own issues, you know, whether it was a health journey with my mom's cancer or, you know, my own struggles with managing my weight. And I've never been one to sort of, I'm thrilled to have the body that I have, and it has gotten me, you know, moved me through the world. And I really accept that we come in all shapes and sizes, but I do care greatly, deeply about health. And I always have, and health has been my specialty in journalism. I have a master's in public health. And so I've always been very interested in the journey of people who want to lower their weight for health reasons or any really reason. And for healthy reasons, let's say. I mean, there's some people that maybe it's not a healthy journey, but I want to talk about that. And I wrote a big magazine story when I was at the New York Times called The Fat Trap. And it really focused on the challenges that once you become overweight and once you've lived a life as a chronic dieter, which I have, I mean, I went through the whole restrictive eating and I probably started my first diet maybe in the seventh grade. I had a mother who dieted. We had very strict rules in the house around food. Parents, please don't do this to your children. You know, I had to ask permission to open the refrigerator and take food out of the refrigerator. And I grew up in a house where my mother was constantly dieting. And it hurts my heart a little bit. My mom's not here anymore, but, you know, she suffered a lot of shame and guilt and all these emotions around her weight. And I think we didn't understand as much back then. So when I wrote The Fat Trap, it really was about the science of dieting. And how bad it is for you and how unhealthy eating patterns just do a number on your body. They, you know, the Biggest Loser study, which I know you're aware of, showed that those people who had extreme weight loss, their metabolisms changed. They gained a lot of the weight back. It's really a challenging journey once you're on it. So, you know, I really do believe that the best thing you can do for your body is to not gain weight, to sort of stop it from, you know, really manage, you know, healthy eating. It's really what I've tried to do with you know, my child. But once you are in this situation, it's very hard to lose weight. It's very hard to keep weight off. We've seen that time and time again. So when I've talked about this, I understand the biology and the science of weight loss. And when the GLP-1s came around, I was really deeply interested because it's very hard to stay on a restricted eating plan, and you know your body changes after dieting. It's just it's a struggle, and I really empathize with people who have it and who want to lose weight. For me, I have diabetes in my family. I have high blood pressure in my family. I have weight related cancers in my family, and it has never for me been about how I look. It's been about how I feel, my ability to exercise, my ability to get out of a chair, to, you know, and to manage chronic pain from rheumatoid arthritis. And so that's where I started. And these drugs came out and I tried them. I tried one. I tried Wegovy. And as a doctor might say, I failed Wegovy. I was on it for about 3 months and I had so many side effects. And I really suffered. I was sick like 4 days a week. I would have 3 good days. But I didn't understand it because I wasn't eating a large volume of food. But and my doctor couldn't help me. There was just no information for us back then. And I really went on Reddit threads and I looked around and I realized that I was trying to eat the same, just less. You can't do that on a GLP-1. So I don't want to like go on too much, but I started that journey with no information. I suffered a lot and I would say I failed. I had to get off the drug. I was just sick all the time. And then I started doing a lot more research. I decided that I wanted to try Mounjaro. I went into that with a lot more information and a lot more sort of conscious eating around. You know, I have definitely had a very strong response to GLP-1s, good and bad. But that's how it started. It started after just sort of a lifelong quest to achieve a healthy weight for my health. And just, I don't ever need to be a size 2. I just want to be able to walk my dog and move and have energy and lower my risk for chronic conditions. And that's always been my goal. with weight management.
Tell us about the rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, this has been a kind of separate journey for me that I haven't really written about that much or talked about that much. But I have had chronic pain for many years, and I have often gone to physicians with a turned ankle or a knee, you know, a knee pain or elbow pain, wrist pain, pick a joint, any joint, it hurts. And I knew that it wasn't normal injuries because it was bilateral. It was both sides. It just never made any sense. And my worst problem, the problem that kept me up at night, that would make me cry, I would literally not be able to have a blanket on my feet, was my ankle pain. A blanket was too heavy, just caused too much pain. It was just excruciating. And you don't think when your feet aren't well, your body's not well. It's a strange thing because it's just so fundamental and literally foundational to your health. And so I would go to doctor after doctor, and they all said to me the same thing. You just need to lose weight. And I heard this in my 20s when I was a pretty normal weight. You know, I was 135 pounds. And they said, you know, at 5'7", and they said, you just need to lose weight. So I wasn't getting great responses. And so I went through many years of pain and just frustration. And I had the horrible experience of tearing a meniscus, and it was incredibly painful. And when I went to that sports medicine doctor, I said, while I'm here, can we talk about my ankles? My ankles were just, I was still in so much pain. I probably tore the meniscus because my gait was, you know, messed up. And my ankles were like this big. And he looked at my ankles. He took one look and he said, you don't need me. You need a rheumatologist. And I was like, wait, what? I've only seen about 25 doctors for this. And none of them had referred me to a rheumatologist. So I went to a rheumatologist that got referred to me through some good doctors. And he is a wonderful person who changed my life because he said, you know, tell me your story. And he went back to my 20s when I had plantar fasciitis and I had carpal tunnel. And I just sort of went through all my injuries and my aches and my pains, and my ankles were still, you know, this big. And he pressed on me and he asked me more questions, and he would like find a spot that would be so painful. I felt like he knew what he was doing. And he goes, I think I've got the answer for you. I don't think that you have pain because you're overweight. I think you're overweight because you have pain.
Okay, so I want everyone to hear that, because this is like a real mind blower. And that is, pain itself decreases the ability to be able to do physical activity.
Right.
And many times people, you know, kind of anesthetize the pain, as it were, just by eating, you know, because it's just sort of soothing and rewarding when you're in pain. And especially when there's no answer to it. It's like, where's this coming from? I can't even imagine how bad that must have felt. All those years of pain in your multiple joints, especially your ankles, and nobody coming up with a solution other than, hey, why don't you drop a few?
It was frustrating, and I was very active.
Crazy.
You know, even overweight, I was still a runner. I ran a marathon. I was, you know, walking a lot. I always had this identity as an active person. You know, when I was in high school, I was a track star. I was a cross-country star. Never really thought of myself as someone who couldn't just move a lot. And then when the pain started, it was really affecting my ability, and it was just depressing. So he did do a bunch of blood work, and I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and that was actually in 2018. And I took various medicines, didn't feel great on them. A lot of them are designed to suppress your immune system. And when COVID hit, I didn't really want to suppress my immune system. So I just kind of suffered. I was trying to eat anti-inflammatory diet, and I was trying to, you know, really manage through all that. Okay, so this was a very separate journey for me, the pain journey and the weight journey at that point. But when I would say they kind of merged, I was actually on Wegovy, even though I was throwing up and sick in so many ways I won't explain to your readers or to your listeners. I remember I was about a week in, maybe a week and a half into Wegovy. And I remember, you know, getting up out of bed the mornings are really rough. You're really stiff in your joints. I always felt like the Tin Man. I needed like, I always said, because when I would get out of a chair at a restaurant or out of bed, I was always kind of creaky and moving like I was 70 years old. I was almost in a walker at this point because I was really in bad shape. The pain was so extreme. And I was resisting that. But I got up one morning and I sort of swung my legs over the bed. And usually that first step was so painful. And I put weight on my feet and I was like, wait, what? And I took a few steps and I was like, this can't be real. This has got to be my imagination. But I didn't have pain. And I thought, what has happened? What has changed? And the only thing that had changed at that point was the GLP-1 I was on. And that's probably why I stayed on the drug for 3 months, because I was so convinced. And I started doing some research, you know, about their anti-inflammatory effects, but it was still pretty new back then. I was very determined to get back on a drug. And so I really learned a lot. And I learned that like protein is your friend on a GLP-1. Sugar is not your friend. And what I kind of love about being on a GLP-1 is that I don't want sugar because it doesn't make me feel good. And it's really conquered some of those cravings I had before. And I've just learned also alcohol. I was never a big drinker ever, but now I just don't even have a taste for it. And I'm happy to give it up because of all the health benefits of, you know, lowering, for, especially when you have chronic pain.
What about food noise?
The food noise really does. You don't know you have it until it's gone. You know, this is a whole new vocabulary. We never talked about food noise until the GLP-1s came out. And the GLP-1 community, bless them, have created this cultural conversation for us. Again, I'm so grateful to these people who are putting their stories on Reddit. And that's partly why I share my story. Other people's stories helped me figure this out and figured what I was doing wrong. I was using like an air fryer and like cooking foods in an air fryer and being very healthy. But I will never forget the sickest I ever was. I had a favorite restaurant in Washington. I was living in Washington, D.C., and they have this most delicious kale salad you've ever had. It's so good. It's just delicious. I loved it so much. And I ate that kale salad and was really, really sick after. Because in hindsight, you know, when your digestion is slowed, when food is sitting in your stomach longer, you know, serious roughage like that, I learned that that was just not something at that point in my journey that I could eat. Now, I will still eat kale, but I have to be kind of careful with kale. Like, I'd rather eat like cooked spinach or something, you know, more that's more digestible for me. But these are the things that nobody tells you. It never occurred to me that I could pick a really healthy dish like a kale salad. It had nuts in it, and, you know, and I never liked cheese anyway, so I never would put, you know, it didn't have a lot of other stuff in it, avocado, and it still made me very ill. And so I just learned along the way what I could and could not do, and I learned that lean protein was my friend. I was getting a lot of vegetables in smoothies and soups because they were easier for me to digest, and I learned to manage. I cut out alcohol because that did not make me feel good at all. And weirdly, things like, usually when you feel sick, like eating, you know, the brat, what is it, bread? No, bananas. What does brat even stand for? But that, you know, I'm talking about that diet that you give your little kids.
Yeah.
I might have it wrong. But the idea of sort of bread and applesauce and bananas and foods like that that make you feel better when you're nauseous. Bread made me feel terrible. Heavy starches made me feel
bad. Rice is something that's supposed to help with nausea.
That's the one. It makes me feel very bad because it just kind of sits in your stomach like a rock. And so some of the traditional...
But, you know, before you continue, I just want to make sure everyone knows that one of the effects of taking a GLP, and it's a variable effect, I mean, not everyone has exactly the same experience, is that it slows the movement of food from your stomach, you know, into the small intestine. So it gives you the feeling of greater satiety because the food kind of sits there. in some people is quite extreme. It's sort of like sits there for a very long time where it shouldn't, because now it's breaking down. You've got bacteria and all kinds of fun things going on. But for most people, there's kind of a moderate amount of kind of what we call gastroparesis. It's just a stomach that is not doing its muscular pushing things along as a normal stomach would. So each person on GLP-1 experiences something like this at some degree, and then you work around it. So what you did, Tara, was you did a ton of workarounds. You're like, okay, well, we're not doing kale. We'll do cooked spinach. You know, that works. And then suddenly, one of the things that makes me happy is that protein is your friend.
It is such a revelation. I mean, I've heard lots of people, you know, optimizers are talking about protein, but when you're on a GLP-1, protein is definitely your friend. It's weird. I was never a big protein eater. Just never really was, but now I am. And it's, you know,
well,
it's
lean. Well, thank God for that.
Yeah. And I've actually started adding some protein. Like if I have a smoothie or something, I'll add protein to it because it just feels so much better. It's amazing how quickly you can sort of figure out what just makes you feel good on a GLP-1. And the thing is, I want to say now, before we get too much into this, is like, I have had some difficult experiences on this GLP-1, but it has been life-changing for me. And I would take all of the bad experiences over again to feel the way I feel now. Even though I think, you know, I wrote this story, I've written a couple stories about the GLP-1 tax, about the, you know, the last story I wrote was
on your Substack.
Yeah, on my Substack, just about all the challenges that we face on a GLP-1. But that if you're, I just think awareness is the answer to all things. And if I had been made more aware, I would have understood some of what was happening to my body. And you can figure it out. So if you're on a GLP-1 and you're feeling terrible, obviously communicate with your doctor, you know, go to, you know, Reddit and see what other people are experiencing. It's been a great resource for me. But even though it's been really hard, it is the best thing I've ever done. Because the thing that I started talking about, my rheumatoid arthritis and my weight, which always felt kind of separate, but they actually, when I started on a GLP-1, the benefits of the GLP-1 for me went beyond losing pounds. I lost pain, you know, the pain went away, and it was just definitely a multiplier for me. And so I don't want to promise that to everyone, but it was my experience that I just overall, and I think they're still trying to figure out exactly what these drugs do, but I had such a great improvement in my health. I'm very grateful to these drugs, even though it's been very hard and I've had a lot of side effects and I've had a lot of struggle. But overall, and what I've written about on my Substack is just that, like, and you know, there's power in information. And if we just talk about the challenges of these drugs and how to navigate them, we would all do a lot better. But mostly my doctors are asking me. They're not telling me. They're saying, oh, what about that? You know, what foods work and what don't? And I'm just like, gosh, could you just do some homework, please?
Well, we're all learning together. And well, you know, when we come back, I want to dive a little bit deeper into that beautiful piece you wrote in your Substack, One Day Better, about what you call the GLP tax. You know, you kind of got me a tax. You know, I immediately read, you know, the entire piece, and I totally get where you're going. So when we come back, let's dive into that. If you've ever picked up a product and thought, I have no idea what half of these ingredients are, this one's for you. SkinSafe is an app developed by Mayo Clinic that takes the guesswork out of shopping for skincare and personal care products. It uses decades of clinical research to analyze ingredients and match products to your unique skin profile, so you always know exactly what's safe for you. Whether you have sensitive skin, allergies, or just want to be more intentional about what you put on your body, SkinSafe makes it simple. Download the app for free and use the link in the description to get 20% off a SkinSafe premium membership. And we're back. Okay, now, what really got me going from your One Day Better piece that you wrote was that you were talking about things nobody talks about. They didn't tell me about this. For instance, the colonoscopy thing. Okay, like whenever you need to have some procedure and they go, well, now I don't want you to be eating and doing, and you're like, okay, hold on now. What are we doing here? So tell us a little bit about what they don't tell you, and that, you know, what you discovered. Turns out you're the teacher for so many of the providers.
Yeah, I got a lot of feedback on that. So it's funny, I've had so many experiences on these drugs. I have to sort of remember, because I'm such a, I feel so much better overall on these drugs, but I've had definitely some challenges and some bad times. And I do experience some regular, you know, problems by being on them, but I continue to take them because I think they're so beneficial. And so the RA pain has just disappeared. So I'm so grateful. I did have a scheduled colonoscopy and followed the prep, did everything I was supposed to do, and absolutely nothing was happening. And if you understand colonoscopy prep, without being too graphic, you know, it's there to cleanse, you know, to clean out your body and to flush everything out so that they can go in and examine your colon without seeing floating food particles. And, you know, they want a very clean, your insides to be very clean so that they can see abnormalities, you know, and they can take samples. And abnormalities is not even a word, abnormalities. Can we correct
that? I kind of like it.
So they can see abnormalities.
We're kind of open here on the podcast. So
let's,
if you want to make
some words.
I'm a firm believer in MSU, make stuff up. Okay, so let's just do it.
I'm a little embarrassed that I just said that, but you know what? I'm just thinking about my own experience and getting a little bit, you know, stumbling over my words a little bit, because it's kind of an emotional thing when I think about it. But this particular, I went to the doctor because really I've had colonoscopies and I understand the prep. And I understood that this prep just was not happening. And I took it exactly as instructed. Went back and the doctor was like, yeah, this was not a successful. And so next time it's going to be a lot more work. I'm going to have to probably do double the prep to make sure that it works. So like you pay, there are some challenges with being on this drug for sure, but I wouldn't trade it for the world because so much of my RA pain is gone and I have lost weight. I still want to lose more weight and has definitely slowed down. So yeah, there is a sort of tax you pay by being on the drugs. And when you're in full, like I can just forget sometimes that I haven't eaten. And I start to realize I've not eaten because I'm getting a headache maybe. Or I'm feeling kind of, I had anemia. I got pretty serious anemia, which I think happens to a fairly high, when I say high percentage, it's maybe like 20% or so. There's a fairly decent number of people who develop nutritional deficiencies because you just don't have the same desire to eat.
That's a very big problem. One of the things we've discovered is that people are kind of all over the place right now. One, some people just continue to eat the same kind of, you know, processed foods, whatever, but less of it. So that's not going to help us because, you know, the quality of the food went to hell. The quantity may be down, but, you know, come on, we're talking about quality here too. So there's a lot of education that has to happen. The next thing is vitamin and mineral deficiencies are very common now.
They really
are.
And
that's why one of the things, you know, I recommend highly is to make certain you're getting at least a multivitamin. You know, something that's gender and age specific, depending, et cetera. And at the same time, have your vitamin D measured. This is a number you should know anyway, and the magic is between 50 and 60. Just remember those numbers. When you're not eating that much, you're also not eating enough protein. And therefore, one of the things we've noticed is that not with all the GLPs, what we've noticed is that if you were to remove excess fat just by, you know, going to the gym, working out, doing the eating thing and back and forth, no GLP involved, typically about 25% of the total weight dropped is actually coming from lean body mass, which makes sense Because, you know, if you've just dropped 50 pounds, then you don't need the muscle to hoist around an extra 50 pounds. I mean, that's just the way it works. And that's completely normal. We've known this for decades in research. With the GLPs, that lean body mass decrease can be upwards of 40% or more. And that's worrisome because then what happens is, especially if you go off the GLP and you gain some weight back, I got news for you. The weight you're gaining back is not muscle. It's mostly fat, which means that even if you went back to the original weight, you're actually, as it were, fatter because the percentage of fat went up, relatively speaking, because you lost so much muscle mass. So I'm a nutcase about making sure people get enough protein, and we'll get into that. And at the same time, hello, you know, what kind of exercise are we doing to maintain? So what are you doing for exercise?
So my main form of exercise is I move. The most amazing thing is just like how my step count has increased as I've lost the weight and just my ability, you know, my pain has gone from the rheumatoid arthritis, and I just move a lot more and I'm just so much more physically active and I have so much more energy. And that's just like the beautiful part of my story. Like I have this whole second lease on life that's pain-free mostly because the RA is just that pain is gone. The challenge for me is still the, you know, we have to do, you really do need to do weight training. I do sort of body specific weight training, like, how do I put it? Like I do lightweight training. I'm still building up, but I do think that I think before the GLP-1, I had the weight and the pain. And now I've dropped some of the weight. I still want to lose more, but I've dropped quite a lot. And I have, the pain is, I would say like 95% gone. Like it's incredible.
That's wild.
The RA pain. And in fact, my doctor is like, if I saw you today, I wouldn't have diagnosed you with RA. He's like, I know you have it because, you know, you have it. And it's funny because sometimes I will, like if I get like a delay in my prescription, it's not funny, but it's just interesting to me that if there's like a delay in renewing my prescription, because sometimes that happens with medicine and you can't get, and I'm off of it for just a little bit, I start to get some of the ankle pain and the bilateral joint pain that I used to have, and I feel it coming back. So I don't like to go off the drug if I can help it. And also it's kind of hard to go back on it. I get a lot of side effects. So I try to be very steady. I'm on a very low dose of my
GLP-1. That was the other thing I was going to ask, because people are playing around with microdosing. They're obviously, we as providers are told to start at the lowest dose and then just sort of titrate, kind of figure out what's going on, match up the symptoms, see what works best. So the very fact that you're on this low dose and still getting this wonderful effect, this anti-inflammatory effect and decreasing the pain is absolutely superb. By the way, more and more researchers are actually discovering this. They're, you know, GLPs, we're just learning all about. And that is the GLPs interact with almost every single tissue in the human body. What's really interesting is to see their power in the ability to be able to change things like extreme pain and inflammation. And that's been going on. I mean, we've seen this right off the bat in the liver. There are all kinds of problems if you're, for instance, obese and you have fatty liver, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very pro-inflammatory state. Guess what happens? You know, it begins to reverse very nicely. And the same thing is occurring in the heart, the immune system. And so it just goes on and on. I'm thrilled to hear that your pain is at 95% down. That is just, I mean, that it, if I were you, I'd feel the same way. It would be worth, you know, some GI distress every 100%. Now and then or back
if
and
I
forth.
Never lose another pound, I don't care because I feel like this has tamped down the pain for me, which has been so life-changing. And but also like some of my inflammatory markers and just generally my health looks better. Just the things that you are worried about, like your blood pressure and, you know, just all the markers of good health are all much improved on a GLP-1 for me. I have more energy and I have just more optimism. and which is in itself like so great. I get emotional when I think about it because it's like really changed my life in such a good way. And I think that there are times where I feel I do get severe fatigue sometimes, and I have to like really push, you know, just to get myself some sunlight and get outside and walk. And so that's there. It's a challenge being on these drugs, but it is such a gift to feel better most of the time and to have more energy and to have, you know, I am still losing weight, and I will continue, you know, to get to a more healthy weight. But if I didn't, if I just stayed where I am right now, I would still feel so much better. You know, I walk my dog all the time, and I get a lot of, you know, I get a lot more, all my step counts, everything are just like triple what they were.
That's actually borne out by research. People who have shed a goodly amount of weight, especially when you get into 30, 40, 50, 60 plus pounds, you're lighter on your feet, you feel better, and you're no longer feeling as though you've got this extra weight burden, you know, when you're trying to walk or, you know, doing whatever you're doing. You know, there have been all these, and you've probably seen them in many of the newspapers that you have populated as an editor, pictures of people at the gym now. You know, they never wanted to go to a gym before. Now they put their, you know, best foot forward, literally. And suddenly it feels okay to do that mentally and physically. And I think one of the things that's so important here is to really look at the entire picture. You know, weight is just one outcome. I mean, that's fine. And clearly we already know having excess body fat is a pro-inflammatory state. We already know all this. It's really good to be able to make some kind of, you know, very positive change there. But look at all the other things that take place. It's just mind-blowing, you know, and many of them are surprised. Sleep is better. Some people are reversing sleep apnea because they no longer have the larger abdomen and the fat around the neck, and that's obstructive is really an issue. And they're just astounded. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. I never counted on this, because people were just running to the scale and they were just staring at that number. And you got to look at yourself as a totality. We're still discovering things every single day in my newsfeed as a physician. You know, I'm getting, you know, yet another Medscape about the new things they're learning about what the GLP-1s can actually do. And that includes cognitive performance as well. It's so fascinating. So, you know, you lucked out with the pain. And again, I just can't even tell you how wonderful that is. So you said that you are now more into protein, okay?
Yeah.
And how did you do that? I mean, like, what does that look like for you?
You know, it's just, it's funny because I just, if you really start thinking about what I did do some research, and I learned that a lot of people on GLP-1s do better on protein. And I learned sort of through my own diet that sugar makes me feel bad generally. And there's sort of an aversion therapy here, because, you know, if you eat something a few times and it doesn't make you feel good, you don't want it anymore. And, you know, there's a lot of unpleasant side effects that you can experience when you don't eat the right thing on a GLP-1, because it slows gastric emptying. It just slows everything down. And just, you just get this kind of multiplier effect. And the fatigue is real. Protein is definitely your friend on this drug. And I would just learn to sort of eat more of it in different ways, maybe a piece of fish or a little piece of chicken. Like, volume was always, you still can't eat like high volume food. But it was, for me, it was a lot of trial and error. But like, pure sugar, just not good. You don't really want it. You have to make yourself stay hydrated. That's a little hard sometimes for me. I really do lose hunger signals and thirst signals, both. So you have to kind of build, you know, you just have to be more mindful. Look, I think mindful eating is a great thing to do anyway, to be very aware of what you're eating and how it's making you feel. And the GLP-1 drugs really make you mindful, because you have such an immediate effect. And it's been, you will experience side effects, but like, you're a little science experiment and you figure it out. And if something doesn't make you feel good, you need to think about it and you know, I find that lean protein, I feel better. I did initially, you know, roughage is a little tough. So you would, I would eat more soups and cooked vegetables. Things like rice, they just kind of sit in your stomach. It's not that I never had them. It's funny though. I went from like loving sushi to loving sashimi. I remember being at a delicious restaurant with a friend early on the GLP-1 journey and realizing that the rice was just like, I couldn't do it, but I loved the sashimi part of it. So I was turning my sushi into sashimi at the plate, but you know, you just learn a lot about your body. What I like about this whole experience, even though it has been challenging, is that it's just made me very in tune with my body and how I'm feeling. And I think when the food noise goes away, you just get some clarity and you get a sense of like, what is going to make me feel good today? And you start wanting things that make you feel good. So more protein. Granted, like I've always loved soups anyway. Sometimes I'll do like a morning smoothie because that's just easier, you know, so maybe it's not as great as just like eating the whole vegetable, but I'm still getting a lot of nourishment. We think more in terms of nourishment because food is just not, you know, talking about food noise. It's just not calling your name. And for somebody who struggled with weight my whole life, like it's so great to sit at a table and to see a beautiful spread of food and to have the food that nourishes your body and be okay with that. You don't need more, like you really feel good. And you know, there's always leftovers on my plate and I still don't waste food. I still pack it up and put it in the refrigerator. But it's just a sense of I'm nourishing my body in the way that it needs to be nourished. And it's a very empowering feeling when that happens, when you're not having cravings and you know, something's not calling your name and like, you know, you can have a bite of something and enjoy it. And
I've been fascinated with the new research coming out on the GLPs and addiction. So, you know, I wrote The Hunger Fix and, you know, we talked all about food addiction and the Yale food addiction scale and all the great stuff that's been done by Ashley Gearhart and other people. So when I heard, you know, it was sort of like, by the by, you know, I always have problems with drinking way too much. Now I don't even want it. This is becoming very, very common. And this is also true of other addictions as they begin to accrue this data in the addictive sector, which makes me wonder about the effect of the GLPs on the reward center in the brain, because that's really where the action's at. So that's called the nucleus accumbens. And I'm wondering whether or not there's a tamping down there, because some people also went so far as to say, I not only don't get reward from, you know, like overeating, gambling, drinking, whatever, but some people just lose reward, period. They sort of get a GLP kind of new personality. They don't get as much reward out of the joys in life. This was an extreme part of this. And when I read about that, I was fascinated because obviously there's a bell-shaped curve to all of this. So you're going to have outliers who are like getting no joy out of anything. Some people, you know, maybe the reward center is barely affected. But I think most people are falling in the middle, you know, and what they're finding is that they're just not getting reward out of a lot of the more self-destructive, addictive behaviors they had before. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it definitely is going to vary by person. I experienced a pretty severe effect of losing interest in a lot of things, and I realized it when I used to walk dogs when I lived in DC, I walked dogs at an animal shelter, and it really, my dog had passed and I wasn't ready to commit to a dog. And so I did a lot of volunteer work with the shelter and I really loved it. It was my happy place. And it was kind of hard to get to. It was a little bit far from my house. So there's a lot of effort to get there. And I got there one day and I just got there and I was like, I don't want to be here. What's wrong? And I literally turned around and I went home. And I remember thinking, okay, what just happened? And I remember calling a friend and saying, okay, so the GLP-1s have stolen my appetite and they've also stolen my joy. What is happening? And I didn't have this sort of language. I didn't understand it enough to know. And I was a little worried, but it did it definitely can happen. Sometimes it can happen for a day. It used to happen a little longer in the beginning. But I just recognize it and I sort of lean into self-care and I just think, you know, I'm having a side effect. This will pass. And, you know, obviously I went back to the shelter. I ended up with the love of my life, a new dog named Sugar. So I think that it definitely does happen, but for me, it passed. For me, it's a lot better now. If you just stick with it and like power through it, I still have bad side effect days sometimes, but you know what? I just lean into self-care on those days, which is something I should have been doing. I think a lot of times when we develop weight issues, it's because we're not leaning enough into self-care and we're not taking the time we need to like take a break from work and to manage our stress and to go take a walk. And now, especially with my dog, now I like really have leaned into walks. And even on bad days, you know, a dog doesn't let you skip a walk. So I would just say that it's your body telling you in a very amplified way that you need to do more self-care. So on days when I don't feel bad, when I don't feel well, when I feel bad on a GLP-1, I'm just really taking that as a signal to just take care of myself. And that it's okay to like take a little time off work, to take a walk, to take a nap. I've always felt guilty taking naps. I've always been like this very hard worker. Now I'm like, you know what? If my body needs to rest, I need to rest. And so I would say it's sort of a call. It's a call. When you're on these drugs, you are getting amplified signals and muted signals and everything is a little bit awry. But like if you listen to it and you just really lean, I would just say it's an opportunity to lean into self-care. If you're fatigued, as I sometimes am, I rest. If I'm feeling queasy, I, you know, do things that are good for me and I, you know, maybe take a walk and get some fresh air, walk my dog. So I think it's just sort of an opportunity to be very tuned into your body. And I think that has been the opportunity of the GLP-1 that I don't hear enough people talking about. Because yes, you have side effects, but those side effects are signals, you know? And for me, it's like, okay, I'm having a side effect. Maybe I didn't eat enough protein. Maybe I'm feeling really tired because I forgot to eat. You know, sometimes I set alarms to just check in with myself now. So I think it could be a really positive thing to be more tuned into your body and to take care of yourself. Like, I think that's like the gift of the GLP-1. So yes, you have side effects. Yes, you have challenges, but it is this kind of very personal call to action to just like to check in with yourself in a mindful way and do things that make you feel better. And a lot of times we're overweight because we haven't always done things that make us feel better. We've maybe self-medicated with food or we've, you know, neglected exercise because we've gotten too busy in life or had too much stress and we haven't sort of listened enough. And so now I think when you're on a GLP-1, you really have to take care of yourself and you have to put your health first. And I really would just, anybody who's starting it, there will be challenges for sure. But for me, the payoff has been tremendous in terms of just my ability to feel more in control of my health. And I think that's been the big gift.
Okay. That's just the best summary I've heard so far of what the hell is going on a very personal basis. Now, as a little sidebar here, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say something. Working with addicts for years, one of the things I've found was that when they first come off, whatever it is, combinations thereof, et cetera, they have literally no joy. There's no sense of joy. They're in rehab. They first come off the stuff. Their nucleus accumbens, their reward center, has been hammered, beaten up, you know, kicked to the curb. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's not good, right? Then the most amazing thing happens. One of the things I would do is I would take them out and I would throw balls with them. Frisbees, anything. Get them outside into nature and moving around in their bodies. I'd have them look at a sunset. In the beginning of rehab, the sunset was like, yeah, well, whatever. You know, in a month, it was like, my God, look at the orange. And what happens, I'm just going to throw it out there. Now, we're going to mark this moment because I may be right. All right. I think researchers are going to find that the nucleus accumbens adapts to the GLPs. And that eventually what happens is you're able to get the more natural joy out of life, not the you know, the stuff from the addictive substance, and that there is like a healing process there. I don't think it's static. I think this is something they have to measure over time. I'm just throwing it out there, just saying, just based upon a lot of years of working in the field.
So it makes sense to me. And my experience was definitely that the things that, you know, I definitely had some down periods, but overall, I would say that I had to sometimes force myself. That's what's great about having a dog. They just drag you outside, whether you feel like it or not. And the fresh air and just walking and feeling alive are all good things. And there's just a virtuous cycle that happens if you can power through the side effects and the hard times, that I do think that, you know, I just know, like, in terms of measurable things, my step counts are higher. I'm more active. I'm just more engaged in so many ways. And I have more energy. And I also lean into self-care more than I used to. I used to fight fatigue. And now I'm like, I'm tired, taking a nap.
I know. And there you are. So I want everyone to read this fabulous piece that Tara Parker Pope wrote in her Substack newsletter, One Day Better. It's the one that blew my mind and gave me this incredible opportunity to reconnect again with you, Tara. Now seeing where you are and communicating with your large audience out there on Substack as you do so beautifully. So you're gifting people with what you've done for years with the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Washington Post. Dear God, you know, you were, you know, a Pulitzer Prize as part of the New York Times team recognized for coverage of COVID. I mean, hello, we're here with royalty and, you know, including an Emmy Award for the Well video series. Crazy stuff. And you're taking all that experience and professional work and expertise, and now you get to apply it to yourself as you go on this fairly amazing journey, say the least. So Tara, I can't thank you enough for being on the Her podcast. I mean, this has just been crazy good. And it gives everyone a little peek into the real world, the authentic world of what it's like to experience the GLPs, because guess what? We're all learning about this together. We really are. Providers, patients, family members, everyone. You know, we're all in on this one way or the other. So Tara, I can't thank you enough for being on the Her podcast to share from your One Day Better Substack newsletter, where you really let it all hang out so beautifully.
Well, I'm grateful to you. I've known you for many years, and I think you're very motivating, and you've been very supportive of me over the years. And it's just so great to reconnect on this issue. And I do think that, you know, my message is just to people to, like, for me, it has been finding community and finding other people's stories and understanding that I'm not alone in this journey, and that ultimately, you know, there are answers out there, and you can, any of the side effects, any of the hard times, you can get through them. But I think that, you know, ultimately everything you've been talking about over the years is like the solution to all things, right? You know, staying active and moving more, all of these things, any challenge you have on a GLP-1 are largely solved. When you just get yourself outside, you get the fresh air, you get some exercise, you walk your dog, and you can power through a lot of the challenges of these drugs. And they are challenging. They're not a shortcut. I don't want anybody to think that it's cheating. It's a lot of work, but I'm so grateful to science, and I'm grateful to people like you that have, you know, helped us figure out how to, you know, get through this and to just be healthier overall. And that it's not really about numbers on a scale as much as it's about just, like, you know, moving and staying active and embracing all the joys.
Well, Tara,
that life brings.
Whatever you do, you have got to keep writing this beautiful stuff, because, I mean, I hang on every word. I love what you write. And of course, you're an expert journalist, award-winning journalist. So you better keep gifting us with some more of this. I mean, bring it on. Everyone join her Substack newsletter, One Day Better. Oh, thank you so much. And I also want to thank my sponsor, SkinSafe. This is a beautiful app. Run on over to SkinSafe Products. that was put together with the Mayo Clinic to be able to help you do the one thing I always need. It's like I'm trying to get goos and gobs and things for my skin. I have no idea what the heck I'm doing. And then I just run on over to SkinSafe and I realize this app is going to educate me. So run on over to SkinSafeProducts.com. And now take a moment to leave us a review because, quite frankly, the entire team just sits around waiting to hear from you. I mean, it's all about feedback after all. And this has been a production of Podcast Health. And I just want to leave you with a little something as I always do. All right, ready? We don't receive wisdom. We must discover it for ourselves after a journey that no one can take for us or spare us. That was Marcel Proust. And of course, this is what Tara has been all about. All right, everyone, get on out there, seize the day, a little carpe diem. Thanks for listening.